for today. And in a way, the passage is which we're just looking at today, so it's in passages of scripture. But you have to live in the times when these scriptures were written to understand its impact and the authority of the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all." Fame of Jesus. When we read these scriptures, we've looked at the scriptures in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, 23, 25. The fame of Jesus just spreads. Now, nobody has a mobile phone. Nobody jumped on a bus and went from Galilee down to Jerusalem. Anywhere people went, they went with their feet. They walked. And so, when the fame of Jesus spread, it spread like wildfire, because people captured what Jesus was doing, and wherever they went, they were declaring and telling people all about this man called Jesus. And in the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us Jesus traveled throughout Galilee. He taught in the synagogues, preached the gospel of the kingdom, and Jesus healed the people from all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. And as a result of this, his fame spread throughout Syria. That's far away. That wasn't next door. Because the Bible tells us Jesus done so many miracles, you could never count them, keep on top of them. Do you think the faith of the people then is different from the faith of the people now? Or do you think that God in his sovereign power just moved and started healing people? His fame spread everywhere. Hey, there's a man in Galilee. His name is Jesus. The sick are healed. Not just the sick. Any kind of disease, sickness, deliverance, everything was happening and it was overflowing and people couldn't contain it and the word was going everywhere. And the Bible tells us, it's been later on in Luke chapter 7, you would read that in the same earth, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and their evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. So he's telling you all the types of things that Jesus was doing. Infirmities. People are afflicted with infirmities. Spirits of infirmities, different types of infirmities, diseases, sicknesses. There was nothing that Jesus could not heal or deal with. No matter what disease they had, no matter what bondage a person had, Jesus could deliver every single person. Amen. Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The deliverance that Jesus done then, he does now. Nothing's changed.
Amen.
Our faith is not built on our own foundation. Our faith is built on the scriptures. Our faith is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is built on what Christ has done for us. And the Bible talks about the fame of Jesus. His following came from the multitudes from Galilee. His following came from Decapolis. And that was a group of cities with Greek and Roman culture. Mm-hmm. It covers the modern day Amman, Jordan. Damascus was included. And although you had Greek and Roman culture, it was not prominent there. Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the river Jordan. The gospel was going everywhere. And people were taking this and the fame of Jesus all over that whole area became known. And it became known like that.
Amen.
It didn't take him his 3.5 years of ministry. We're talking about the early days of his ministry. Healing, miracles, signs, wonders, the fame of Jesus spreading everywhere around. And it tells us, the Gospel of John tells us, that the world could not contain all the miracles that Jesus did. They were so abundant, you could never keep up. Multitudes upon multitudes being healed and delivered. You know, and these people, the Bible also tells us, they brought unto him all their diseases, including infirmities and torments. They brought unto him people with torments. And if you read that scripture, it talks about the torments as if you were in a prison cell on a rack and being tortured. It even goes further and says, the torments, that's the torments you're getting hell. And I don't know about you, but we've had to deal with people who've had torments. And I tell you, they go crazy. When people have torments and they can't find a way out, they're going crazy. And you're lucky if you can speak to them because they're so caught up with all the torments they're under. And the Bible says Jesus healed them of all the torments. You think of the man in the Gadarenes, bound by all these evil spirits. You don't think he would be tormented in that place. Jesus left him in his right mind. You see, these demons and unclean spirits were tormented him. When it came for them to get judgment, they were looking for mercy. But they don't care about you. And so, when Jesus is ministering to people, nobody came to him, whether they were crazy, whether they needed deliverance, whatever disease they had, Jesus healed every single one.
Amen.
And his fame spread everywhere. And this fame is going to be people walking to places. Everywhere people are hearing about Jesus. And the book in here, as we go down to Luke 4:16, and it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up, and he read the scripture. Matthew tells us he came to dwell in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. It's interesting. It didn't say here it was written that he would be called a Nazarene. It was spoken. The prophet spoke. But you come to the moment, you'll find something else. Things which have been spoken are not written down. The unclean spirits still. Jesus of Nazareth, why have you come to torment us? They never did. Jesus has been called up. Spirits already recognized. And it's been spoken by the Holy Spirit, by the prophets in the past. Unclean spirits still recognize it. Of course, theologians will go to the words to get answers to that question. But basically, there's no direct reference. The Bible says it was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. And of course, when Jesus comes, we have the fulfillment of his word, don't we? He came to Nazareth when we brought up. And the multitude said, and this is Matthew 21, this is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee. And Mark would say, let us alone. This is his demons. Thou Jesus of Nazareth, what? Have you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God. And Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And even in Acts 22, we have, who are you, Lord? And he answered unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Jesus of Nazareth, the one who's doing the miracles, the one who is saving people, the one who is speaking to people, so they have encounter with his presence, is Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, if you go back to the book of John in chapter 1, we have the story of Philip. And the Bible here says, and Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip is able to find him. And everything about Jesus had to match what the scriptures were saying. Because the Bible said God was going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses. And of course, being a prophet like unto Moses, he has to come with signs and miracles and signs and wonders. Because he has to come with the credentials that the people of Israel will recognize, well, this is our Messiah. But he and Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They're like us saying, can any good thing come out of Edinburgh? Can any good thing come out of Glasgow? Basically, because where Nathanael lived here, lived right next door to Nazareth. So he asked the question, can anyone come out of here? And Philip said, come and see. And Nathanael had the encounter because we met Jesus. Jesus said, I thought you. Nathanael said, what are you talking about? He said, when you were sitting under the fig tree. And because of that, Nathanael believed to follow Jesus. Immediate conversion. Recognizing who Jesus was. Life changed. Sitting under a fig tree. Fig tree was only tree in the scriptures, but the Bible said God cursed. And here he's sitting under a nation unconverted, a nation with no king. And Jesus says, I saw you. So when we come to the visit of Nazareth, Jesus visit in Luke, on chapter 4, Luke, verses 16 and 30. There's a number of things to notice. It was always Jesus' custom to go into the synagogue. He made it a habit. He was always there. Apostle Paul may have done the same. Every place he went, the first place he would go into the synagogue. And of course, the Apostle Paul, just like Jesus, if he'd given the opportunity, they would open the book and they would read the scriptures. And then they would expound the scriptures. And here, Jesus is at Nazareth. And he stands up and he starts to read. And Jesus is handed the book of Isaiah. And he picks a very pertinent part of scripture concerning himself. In this passage, he gave his mission to preach the gospel to the poor. And so when you go through the scriptures, you will find that Jesus says, we need to go to another place to preach. We've got to go to this other town to preach. We've got to go here to preach. And the Bible tells us through the preaching of the word, the people believe and are converted. And so Jesus was into preaching. But he came to preach to the poor, to those whom society would cast aside. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Because he had compassion on people. The Bible tells us one time he looked over Jerusalem and he wept over the city because he knew what was going to befall the city. He wept over because of the hardness of the people because they had rejected him and he knew what was going to befall them. And so he goes through to preach deliverance to the captives, preach except the ear of the Lord, and of course he begins to preach from the scriptures. And everything is fine. And he's preaching, and we know the Bible tells us when Jesus preached, he wasn't like the Pharisees or any of the religious people. Because when Jesus preached, he always preached with authority. So much so they would say, where did he get these words? How does this man know these things? We've never heard things like this before. Back when this unclean spirits were cast out, they said, we've never even seen things like this before. So people are getting caught up. Because he has such an impact. Because he's carrying the presence of God and the power of God. And people are coming, they get touched and asked, where did you get this knowledge? Where did you get this wisdom? And then, you know, just like a cloud from over people, caught up in the moment. You go to places And you just, ooh, this is a great place to be, and you get caught up with what's happening. But then suddenly there in the midst of it, there's a star. Is this not Joseph's son? All of a sudden, from all that they're hearing, all that they've heard about it, somebody asks, hey, this is Joseph's son. You can't be anybody special. And because they brought this up, what happens? All the words they were speaking all of a sudden they disappear. The old saying is that familiarity breeds contempt. And Jesus said the prophet is not of honour in his own place. And so in the place where he's called Jesus of Nazareth, the town of Nazareth, is a place where there's the rejection of Jesus. You're just a lovely man. And the Bible said he could do no mighty miracles in that place. Just a few. Just a few miracles. And so all these people in that town, which have been hearing about the fame of Jesus, which is spread all over the whole part of that area of the Middle East, every one of them could have been healed and restored and had great encounters with God, except somebody, because there's always somebody in the crowd who wants to bring everything back down to that. And because of one person, that to bring it up, everybody lost the revelation. Everybody lost the revelation. They were offended at all. So when you start, is this not, what are you going to get? You're going to lose revelation of who Jesus is. Because Jesus just, oh my God. And it doesn't matter where you go, you're always going to get the person who's going to ask a question, is this not? Everybody always wants to bring Jesus down to their natural level. You see it everywhere in society. Because he cannot imagine. Because the God of all creation, when he walks amongst you, and he is holy and righteous, and you're down where you are, you want to bring him down to your level. And God says, I don't come down, but I'll bring you up. Mm-hmm. And so what they do, in another scripture it says, they suppose Joseph to be Jesus' father. And they suppose they were wrong. Joseph wasn't his father. Joseph was his stepfather. Jesus Christ was born of the Holy Spirit. God incarnate. But they supposed he was just like them. They lost their revelation. And so when you lose the revelation, miracles no longer take place. When you start to lose revelation, you'll not see miracles. And if you're not seeing miracles, you've got to say, why are we not seeing miracles? Because Jesus is the God of miracles. He's never ever changed. He came to set the captive free. He came to bind up a broken heart and open the prison doors that are bound. He's given it to us, his mission. Amen. And he shows us here in this story, when you start to question his authority, then you miss out on the miracles. Amen. And he'll go somewhere else and do the miracles in another place. Amen. And that's what's happened here. They could not see past the fact that they knew him. And they could not believe that he was the Messiah. And they had the Son of God in their midst. And they had the hair, the fame everywhere. And they'd come to listen to him. And then because of somebody bringing up, oh, I know he's mother and father. The whole place lost out. And that's such a contrast with the Samuel, isn't it? Jesus just said to him, I've seen you under the fig tree, and he believed and followed Jesus. And he got great promises because of that. But John says, For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We should all know that scripture off by heart. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, you're going to die in your sins. There's no hope for you. So you may as well go out, eat and drink, be merry, because when you step over into eternity, you start an eternity in the place where the Bible says there's torments. There's no black and white in the scripture. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. How do we have eternal life? Because we have Jesus, born of the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit of God, and so we have eternal life. You're a special category of people. Did you not know that? There's going to be people in the future. In the Old Testament, nobody had Christ. There's going to be a time in the future if people want eternal life, they're going to have to eat of the tree of life. Everyone here today who's been born by the Spirit of God had eternal life because they've got Christ in them. Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so the Bible tells us, we've got this contrast between Nathanael and the people at Nazareth. And so Jesus, he wasn't shy of stirring up a hornet's nest. And he said to them, and he gave them the story of Elijah and Elisha. The story of Elijah, when there was a drought in the land, where did God take Elijah? He took him to the widow of Zarephath. Oh, she's a Gentile. Then there's Elisha. In the days of Naaman the leper, as we talked about a number of weeks back, we had this maid who was taken captive and said, but if a master would go to Israel, to the prophet, he would cleanse him of his leprosy. And Jesus brings it up. And he has to leave Nazareth because they want to stone him. They want to stone him because they didn't like the references they gave to him. And God, when you turn away from God, you'll go to somebody else, another pair of people. And so they tried to kill Jesus. So Jesus moves on and he visits the town of Capernaum. And look at the difference from his visit to Nazareth. The Bible says that at Capernaum, they were astonished at his doctrine. This just was some casual person coming in who was a good orator. But they were actually astonished at his teaching and his doctrine, the way he taught it, the power and authority he had. They had never seen anything like that again before. You see, when Jesus comes into your place, things change. And it says here they were astonished at his doctrine. And the Bible tells us the first priority of Scripture, what's it for? It's for doctrine. So they're astonished, he has power. And when you have power, people take notice. Today we have a church, National Church, Church of England, even Church of Scotland, and churches. People don't take any notice of them. Why? There's no power. Mm-hmm. When you forsake the word of God, you lose power. Mm-hmm. When you forsake the word of God, there's nothing behind you to keep hold you up. Jesus had power, and people took notice. You always take notice of a person who's got power and authority. And Jesus was such a person. His word was with power. And so when you have power, people are taking notice. What doctrine is this? Never heard this before. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, he tells them his speech, it might not have been very impressive, basically, I've spoken the demonstration of the Spirit with power. My oratory may not have been the greatest, but I've had the power. And so there's such a difference with the visit to Nazareth with the visit to Capernaum. Matthew would tell us that Jesus taught one having authority and not as the scribes. John would say, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Mm-hmm. And Capernaum, the people came for healing. And it said, now when the sun was setting, this is verse 40, they had any sick with different diseases, brought them unto him. He laid his hands on every one of them, healed them. And the devils came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked him, suffered them not to speak, for he knew that he was Christ. What a contrast. Nazareth hardly any miracles. Capernaum, everything's flowing. Everything's, people are seeing things, hearing things they've never heard in their life before. They could talk and they could relate to what they've been hearing about Jesus all around. And now they're seeing it. But you see, there's a problem with Capernaum. If you want to see healing, miracle, signs, wonders, then you better know what you're asking for. Because the Bible says in Matthew, and now Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Well, Sodom, we know what like Sodom was. It was a wicked place. It was a corrupt place. Sodom was the place where all types of immoral acts would take place. And Jesus said, if the miracles that have been done here in this town have been done in Sodom, the people would have converted. And because you got all this privilege and you've scorned the privilege, instead of being lifted up to heaven, Capernaum, you will be cast down to hell. So when you get miracle signs and wonders and you're looking for the power of God, then you have the responsibility to make sure that you follow through and follow Jesus and keeping the standard of Jesus. With power comes responsibility. Nazareth, they didn't want it. Capernaum, they got it, but they squandered it. Nathanael heard the gospel, followed Jesus. So Jesus expects us to acknowledge his goodness and to follow him. Remember the story with the 10 lepers? Jesus said, I saw him, 10 of you, where's the other 9? There's a responsibility that comes when Jesus starts to heal and deliver and set people free. He's not doing it so you go back to your old life and get stuck into your old life again. He does it because your life is to change and to follow him. And so when the gospel is preached, and people respond to the gospel and follow Jesus, and God and the Lord heals and delivers them, he is expecting a response from them, albeit I'm following Jesus. He's not going to be used just for people's whims. Now, let's go on to the next chapter, because this is another interesting part of scripture. Peter, James, and John, this is when they forsake everything to follow Jesus. And it's in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And after preaching, Jesus tells Simon to cast down the nets. And of course, Simon, very begrudgingly says, Jesus, you know, you've toiled. I'll tell you what we're doing, Jesus. We'll cast down one net. We'll just cast down a net. And so Simon's replied, we'll get down a net. What was the result? You got a good multitude of fish. The net broke. Other boats were having to come, and the boats were sinking. That's just Peter, typical fisherman. They like what he sees, what's happening, what Jesus is saying, what he's heard. You might not still be completely sure if everything I've heard about you is true. I'm willing to put down a net. But Jesus never asked us to put down a net. He asked us to put down nets. So when he puts down a net, it breaks. Boats are sinking. You know, there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 13 where the prophet comes to the king and the enemies of God are coming. And so he tells the king what to do. He says, you know, you've got to take the arrows and you've got to start striking the arrows and make sure you keep striking. And the king just says, blah, 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 blah. What does the prophet say? Because you didn't listen carefully. And you treated this request as if I was trying to pacify you. That you, all you're going to do is win only two or three times against the enemy. He said, but if you had kept doing that, you'd have a complete victory. It's a bit like this with Peter, isn't it? I'll cry you out, Lord. But notice the words the second time Jesus gives instruction to Peter to fish in John chapter 21:6. He says to Peter, cast the net on the right side. Jesus remembers what he said the first time. When Jesus said the first time, throw your net, Peter said, I'll do a net. So the second time Jesus comes, he just said, here, just cast the net. He remembers. He remembers where you are, he remembers what you said. And so when he comes back, he says to him, cast the net. And he casts the net on the right side. Notice this time, the net is not broken. The net was not broken. See, Jesus, when we are on a journey, and we are saying, Lord, that's a bit hard for me to say. Can you lower the bar a bit? Well, further on, when Jesus comes, he'll have the bar lowered for you. He remembers what you say, what you ask. And of course, Peter's response was, Lord, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. And he, Jesus, Peter's recognizing Jesus as the power and authority, and he is the Son of God. And the whole revelation of who Jesus is now affecting Peter. In the book of 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says that godly sorrow works repentance. Worldly sorrow produces death. And here we have Peter with a godly sorrow, recognizing who Jesus is. And he becomes a great apostle. So in these stories, we have the difference of individuals, we have the difference of times, consequences that follow. And the Bible says these things are all written for your example. Are you going to be the people like Capernaum in question? Personally, Nathanael immediately follows Jesus. Capernaum, where they love to see the miracles, but they're not prepared to pay the price to follow Jesus. Maybe you question like Peter. But when you come to that place of godly sorrow, knowing that you are filthy conditioned before the Holy God, and there is forgiveness of sins, cleansing, a life from a fisherman to being brought before the Sanhedrin and saying to themselves, are they not ignorant fishermen that they did not that had been with Jesus? Because when you have encounters with Jesus, your life should never be the same. And Jesus is not expecting your life to be the same. He is expecting you to move forward, to grow, and become mighty men and women in the kingdom. Because the Bible says these things shall follow them, I believe.